Last week I talked about leaving your first love, and I have to say that I've been very excited about the response on that, mainly because it changes perception. And so I've been really waiting to teach on these things for several months, just kind of been waiting and trusting the Lord on some things. But you know, we covered several things. We asked the question, what is your first love? And we answered it as being very simple. God is your first love. He loved you first. So the perception was God loving you versus you loving him. That's important. So if we see a starting point, an origin of your faith coming from God loving you instead of you loving him, God's love will always be perfect. It'll always be enough. It'll always be what we need. And so we really got into that, and it was some really good thought. The second question we answered was, what is leaving your first love? And we just kind of talked about how it's, looking because of the lust that's within you, you look upon other gods, you worship other gods, you take other thoughts that are not God, and you leave the love of God really to fulfill your own lust. And your own love for yourself or for the lust that you have. So, but we answered those. And then the third thing we answered was the why. Why would you leave God's love? And it showed the idea that we see iniquity in God. That is interesting, because when you find iniquity in God, then you're going to leave him, because you don't want to serve a God who you think is doing it wrong, who has sin in himself. But I'm going to really dive into that part, and I want to show you really where the iniquity is and how that happened. Now, the scripture says in Titus 1:15, it talks about unto the pure are all things pure. Now, this is a big principle that we must live by, okay? Unto the pure, all things are pure. Now, that's pretty simple. Your consciousness is pure, therefore serving God is pure. You are pure. God is pure. The works of God are clean and righteous, okay? But unto him that is defiled is nothing pure. So God is not pure, you are not pure, and it goes on to say, unto him that is defiled is nothing pure. Him that is defiled, not only that, he's unbelieving, he's defiled, and the works that he does is defiled. And you know what it does? He says he knows God, but in his works he denies God. So really, if you're pure, all things are pure. That includes God. If there's defiled consciousness, or the mind is defiled, your perception is defiled, well then, I said not God. Isn't that funny? I wrote not God there. Not pure is what I meant to write. If you're defiled, nothing is pure. And you will confess you know God, but really you deny him. So the idea of being defiled would be to deny God. Now, this is the idea that we want to base this on, okay? This is going to help you. Consciousness needs to be cleaned up, okay? The idea of the mind, is it pure or is it defiled? Once this is corrected, then you're good to go, because how you see God is how you see yourself. And I've preached this and taught this many times. If you see Jesus as an earthly man, then you see yourself as an earthly man. You see yourself as flesh and blood. If you worship Jesus only as flesh and blood, you're going to see the corruption in yourself, and you're going to treat yourself like flesh and blood. And you're going to treat God like flesh and blood. Therefore, If you look at yourself, you're going to notice all the weakness, all the fear, all the doubts. If you see that in yourself, it's because, and I'm saying that if you see it in yourself and you're overcome by it, it's because your consciousness is defiled and you're denying the Lord. We got to correct that. Now, there's two places that this began, okay? There's an origin story to why your thoughts are not pure. There's an origin story. If you were to look, draw a line here, if you were to look into heaven, it would be the anointed cherub. Now, the anointed cherub you could find in Ezekiel 28. And there was a place where he was in the mountain of God, and then one day he found iniquity in himself. When he found the iniquity, that's when the trouble began. Now, before I move on, in the earth, let's talk about that one. Well, now you've got Adam. And what happened to him? Everything was good until he found iniquity in himself when he ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The cherub, it says, merchandised. When he traded and merchandised, violence began to arise in him. Iniquity began to arise in him. When Adam traded and merchandised with the tree of knowledge, it revealed iniquity in him. Now, what happens when iniquity is revealed in you is the key to it all, okay? This is where consciousness I talked about. Are you having that revealed in a pure conscience, or are you having iniquity revealed in a defiled conscience? This is very important. And the reason why I want to talk about these things is because they're so important and they affect your life today. Your way of thinking today, how you think about God, how you think about yourself, it matters. Where did it come from? How did it start? The idea that the Church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, when the Lord told the angel there that I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love, you have left the place where God's love was taking care of you, was watching over you. He knew there was iniquity in you. He knew that there was sin in you because when he created you, he breathed life into you, both good and evil. So he knew it was there. It wasn't like God didn't know. But it's amazing what happens when you find out that sin is in you. It's amazing. Think of Adam. What happened to Adam? Well, he went into fear of God. He was scared of God all of a sudden. He wasn't scared of God before, but now he is. He was naked, afraid, he hid himself. So all of these results are because he realized that I'm not what I thought I was. Now, what happens to you when the Word of God begins to come to you and teach you that there's sin in you? Well, one of two things. Either you are happy and grateful and thankful that the Lord has revealed your sin and now he's going to deliver you from it and forgive you. Or, well, you could be like Adam. You could be like this anointed cherub. This anointed cherub was in the mountain of God in the stones of fire. But when iniquity was found in him, it says that the brightness of his beauty caused his heart to get lifted up and exalted. And next thing you know, God wasn't good enough anymore. He himself wanted to be God. So now there's a difference of the spirit of how it happened in heaven versus the difference of how it happened in the soul. In the heaven, he got exalted and began to want to be like God. Well, this is very important. Whether you understand it fully or not right now, hang with me. The spirit of that cherub got exalted and wanted to take the place of God. That's what happens in the spirit. In the soul, Adam went into fear and death and got afraid. Now, isn't that interesting? One part of you gets exalted and wants to take over the throne of God, and the other part of you in the soul goes into fear and doubt and unbelief. That should help discern where your thoughts are and what part is working in your consciousness. But we'll get back to that maybe at another time. If you notice, all of this is a result of when God reveals sin. When he reveals sin, you have to be ready for God to do that. Adam was not ready. This anointed cherub was not ready. Well, guess what? You have not been ready for God to reveal sin. I already know that. You're living your life in a place where condemnation has worked, where fear, nakedness, accusation. And who do you think gets the blame because of your sin? Well, it's God. God gets the blame when sin is revealed in you, and then you start asking these questions. For example, in Romans 3, Paul is laying out the thought of God manifesting sin. When God manifested unrighteousness and sin, Paul addresses the idea or the thought that rises in you. If my sin is manifested to reveal it so that God can get the glory, then why would you call me a sinner? Isn't that interesting? In Romans 9, he addresses the fact that when God makes a vessel unto dishonor, if God is the one that made the vessel unto dishonor, then who has resisted his will? How could you hold me accountable when you made me this way? So the thought begins to question God. How could you make me this way? And how could you reveal sin in me and then call me a sinner? God, I don't get what you're doing, and I'm questioning you of why you're doing it the way you're doing it. And these are the thoughts we go through. When we rise up and begin to find this iniquity in us, we begin to say, God, why are you doing it this way? Recently, I had somebody on the phone, one of the ladies in the church, and she'll appreciate this, bringing this back up, because I know she's watching. And she says to me, I've had thoughts where I question God by saying, God, how could you hold Cain accountable when you didn't tell him what offering to bring? And you didn't, Abel got it right, Cain got it wrong. And how could you say Cain was wicked because you never told him what offering to bring? But that's not true. God did tell him what offering to bring. God's word did manifest, beginning with Adam and beginning with showing the gospel from the origins. God did manifest, and he manifested the thoughts that were righteous and the thoughts that were wicked. And it's interesting, in her mind, she was confessing to me that I have blamed God and questioned God. But see, these are the thoughts that snare you when you don't understand God. It's kind of like Adam. When sin was revealed in him and God showed up and God said, what have you done? Did you eat off the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were in fear? We ate off the tree. Why'd you do that? The woman you gave me, God. You gave me this woman. She gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate that. Now, let's think about that thought right there. Either that's an accusation against God that says you're the blame of why I'm in sin right now, or what if you considered it from a pure thought? Because you could say that's a defiled thought and blaming God. Or what if you say, it's true. God gave Adam the woman, but God's intent was to manifest his sin so he could be saved. In the pure thought, we say, God, you gave me this woman. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this woman. Now it is revealed in me that I will disobey God. And now salvation can begin to work in me. There's two perceptions we've got to look at here. How are you going to treat God when sin is revealed in you? And this is why when I taught last week about God is your first love. Now imagine if God is your first love and he is all-knowing, all-powerful, understands all things about you because he created you. When he begins to do his work in you, which is reveal the whole story of God, both good and evil, what are you going to do? Blame him? It was his love that gave you life. It was his love that gave you death. It was his love that gives you the chance to learn both good and evil, death and eternal life. It's his love that created this whole thing. So how we perceive God's story is going to be very interesting. And I notice in our world today, God gets the blame for a lot of things. Why would God let this? And why would God do it this way? And it's men do not understand God. Now, if Adam would have understood why God told him not to eat off of that tree, guess what he wouldn't have done? He wouldn't have ate off that tree, but he didn't understand. When the thought of the serpent worked in his thoughts, because it was in Eve, to Eve, his own soul, when the thought of the serpent worked there to get her to look upon that tree and lust after that tree, there was no understanding working there. All there was an accusation against God. God's keeping you from being like him. And when we think this way, God is not talking to me. God is not helping me. God is hurting me. When we think this way about God and we don't trust his love toward us because our hearts and consciousness is defiled, guess what we will do? We will deny God. We will separate ourselves from him. We will leave him. We will leave our first love. Imagine that perception. I want to read a scripture to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Very interesting scripture here. 2 Timothy 2. Let's start in verse 11. It is a faithful saying. It's a faithful saying. This is cool. If we are dead, or if we die with Jesus, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, which is to endure, if we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, let me write some things on the board here because I want to illustrate something for you in this passage of Scripture, how great God is in this, okay? It says that if we die with him, we will live with him. That's cool. You die with him, you live with him. Now watch the oneness, the unity of believing in God and not leaving your first love. He says, if we suffer with him or endure with him, you know what's going to happen? We're going to reign with him. Look at the unity, Brad. Look at it. If you die with him, you live with him. You're together in death and you're together in life. If you endure and suffer with him, you will reign with him. This here is great oneness. You are one. It's the same mind. This is the pure mind. Okay? It's the same. That's what this is. It's the same. You die with him, you live with him. That's what we just read. You endure with him, you reign with him. You are one together. This is how you're supposed to take the story, the journey with God. Okay? But then it goes on to say, here's the separation. Okay? Let me draw a line. It says, if you deny him, what will he do? He will deny you. Oh, that's big right there. Why would he deny you? You say, well, God never leaves me nor forsakes me. But check this out. What is your denial? Okay? Isn't it what I read here over in Titus? That he that is defiled, nothing is pure. His unbelieving causes him to deny the Lord. You confess God, but at the same time, your works deny him. So imagine, when you deny the Lord rises up and says, I am not what that lie is saying. You're denying that I'm God. You're denying my word is true. You're denying that I can't save you. You're denying that I can't heal you. You are denying that my word will not work. And so what's he do? He says, I deny that. And all of a sudden, separation is taking place now. God stands up and says, I will not partake and agree with a lie that says I am unfaithful. I will not sit here and rule all of heaven and earth and be told that my word is unfaithful, because it's not. And then he goes on to say in that same verse, he that is unbelieving, the one, when you are an unbeliever, what does he say? He says, God rises up and he says, nope, I cannot deny myself. Now think of this. God, you say you're unbelieving. You say God is in an unbelief. You say God is not God. God says, no, I cannot do that, because God is a believer. So notice what happens here. This becomes division, or two. When you're with God, you're one. When you're against God, there's separation there. Okay? What does that make you at this point? It makes you other than God. Other gods. No wonder God doesn't allow the worship of other gods. Didn't he say, that is so powerful, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. If we believe not, he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. See, this is what happens, God versus your thoughts. This is why you cannot leave your first love. God, who is your first love, loved you even when you were sinners. He loved you. He didn't accuse you. He just said there's sin there. But something happens when you find your sin. All of a sudden, you look down on your unbelief and you call God unfaithful. He's not, but God's a believer. God believes in his word. He believes in his faithfulness. He believes in who he is. God will not deny himself. He can't. You could tell I'm very excited about this, because I have seen some things in God that let me know God will never deny his own word. This is why man, out of a defiled conscience, out of their mouth they can confess they love God, but with their works are evil. Trust me, God judges the intent of the heart. That's where iniquity is. That's where God's going to bring judgment. So if your heart is wicked and opposes God, I don't care how much physically you can live a life and show up to church and call God God and say you love him. If your heart speaks evil and questions what God is doing, then God will have to rise up and separate himself between heaven and earth and say, I am God, all of heaven and earth, and you are but a lowly soul lost in your way of confusion. I can't agree with that, but I will save you. That's the cool part. But to come out of your denial, you have to admit that God is. See, now that's why I want to tie in now. At least three weeks ago, I taught about what is faith. And I said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's faith. Faith is getting a word from God and then believing that word that it's God. This is what I'm talking about. Why would you leave your first love? Because you don't believe the word from God is God. You believe it's sin or you believe it's iniquity. No wonder you would leave. If God speaks a word to you that you're a son of God and you say, no, I look at my own thoughts and I look at my consciousness and I look at my life and I go, no, I am not a son of God. I can't hardly believe that. Guess what you just did? You just separated yourself from God and you went away from your first love when the intent of God is to say, hang on, I'm going to love you through death and life, through suffering and reigning. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to keep you. You cannot forsake me when I reveal sin to you. You can't do it. You can't say, well, God, you put the sin in me, and now you call me a sinner? Of course God's going to call you a sinner if you are sinning. That's the truth. In your thought, in a pure conscience, you would say, thank God he revealed the sin. Now, Lord, save me from it. How about that? Wouldn't that be a change of thought? Instead of leaving the garden or leaving heaven, why don't you return there and change it all? Like I said last week, why don't you go back to the beginning where God talked to you and let it be changed? Let it be changed. How about walking in forgiveness? Whoa, I said there was a time, probably a couple years ago, I sat across from a person who had struggled in their thoughts for years and years and years, condemned, couldn't believe God. Prophecy after prophecy came forth. You are called of God. You are called of God. You come forth, come forth. And the war in this man could not believe God. He believed his own world, his own lies, his own evil. We're all evil, trust me. Later in Romans 3, God says, hey, Paul said, there's not one that's righteous. None are righteous but God. So we all need forgiveness, right? As he said across from me, he says, you know what I told God this week? Here's what I told God this week. I told him, you did this. God, you did this. You made me this way. You made me this way to where I'm evil now and I can't overcome. You made me this way. You deserve what you get. And he, the more he progressed, I watch a man progress from walking in the thought of God to believing his own lie so much that then he pointed his finger at God and said, you deserve what you get, and walked away from God. And I'm going to tell you something. What a wicked, wicked thought that did not understand what God was trying to save him from. And here we are today. Here we are today. I've watched God, I'm going just a minute or two longer here today because I'm going to give you some examples. I sat across in a meeting years ago, sitting right down in our basement of the church. Brian and Rick and I sat across with a man and we said, look, we're not going to do this, what you're doing anymore, the work that you're doing in the church. We're going to give you an opportunity to serve God and work in the ministry with us. But the thought in him was too great. You're taking away my ministry. You're taking away my ministry. We said, no, we're giving you a ministry. We're giving you a chance to serve God. But the thought of God taking away something and the thought of the elders taking away something worked and festered and festered and festered until accusation after accusation come forth, until a person could leave and not serve God. Because, why? Because not understanding what God is doing in you. You cannot forsake God when he begins to manifest your iniquity. Trust him. Listen to me. I cry out to you today. Trust God when he begins to reveal your iniquity. Do not stray away and say, God, it's your fault. God, you're taken away from me. No, God's love has put you in his story so that he could reveal all things to you, so that you could die to that sin, so that you could live in eternal life, so that you could endure with him and suffer with him, so that you could reign with him as one with God. That's God's intent. That's God's intent. I encourage you today. I've actually talked about some heavy-duty things today. Goodness, it's some things just have to be put out there, but I need you to consider. Unto the pure, all things are pure. How you see God will be how you see yourself. If you're defiled in your thought, God will be defiled as well. Love God. Have faith in God. Abraham said, I think I said this last week, maybe not. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, the Lord was talking with Abraham. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God said that. Abraham said that. The host of heaven said that. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. God can put you in a pit of sin and death and raise you right back out of it. Woo, trust God. Trust God. So I said I went a couple of minutes long. I went about 5 minutes too long, longer than 30 minutes. I like to teach for about 30 minutes because it's about what is good right now while you're at home. Stay focused, seek after the Lord, and I really, really, really would like it if you guys fellowshipped and called and talked about these things, because the Lord wants to bless you and raise you up, okay? God bless you today. Now, I'm going to continue this, so don't be discouraged in any way. I'm going to continue in this. We're going to continue to answer these things. God bless you. Be at peace today. I love you guys and looking forward to hearing from you.